Cook in here. Jack, you're not getting that thing a kick. It seems to go to sleep once in a while back there. Let's see if we got... Oh, okay, The Successful Christian Life. We're still in that series, and we're going to be on there for a little bit longer. And today we're looking at how to shine and grow. Amen? I don't know, some people just wake up grouches. And then other people wake up grouch. The grouch that's there, too, as well, don't they? So I don't usually wake up grouchy. I let her sleep a little longer. No, she's pretty good. She doesn't wake up grouchy either. I have a few of my children wake up grouchy in the morning. And that's never good to have a dad that wakes up and he's always a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. And they're grouchy. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Whatever, get going. You know, I don't even need coffee. I don't need to have any caffeine either. Isn't that great? So anyway, my way of introduction here. We're going to look at our spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. I'm sure that between all the messages between myself and Steve and the Sunday school classes, that we realize that we are definitely in a spiritual warfare. And, of course, if you're not saved, you probably wouldn't realize that you're in warfare. You might just feeling that, hey, you just have a bad day or you're having bad luck along the way. But, you know, as a child of God, there is no such thing as good luck, bad luck. Amen? Right. It's either ordained of God or it's not ordained of God. So we're in a spiritual warfare. And we said originally 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to ruin your family. Right. He wants to ruin ministries, all that he can. And so today, how to shine and grow. And that's important because... I've been saved for a long time, and I have been around a long time, and I've seen a lot of things, and yet I don't think I've ever seen a generation who is apathetic or is complacent about Christian responsibilities as I've seen out of this generation. To them, church is a take it or leave it. You know, hey, if I don't have anything better to do, I might just stop in and say hey. Or sharing the gospel, it's the farthest thing from our mind. We get so absorbed into whatever we're doing here. But by way of introduction, I'm not altogether sure that some folks think what some folks think concerning what God has in mind for those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's almost like they're in a quasi stupor along the way there, and just kind of going along and figuring that the Christian life is something that I get to choose how I live it and how I should live it, or what God will do, what God won't do. And so they don't, well, I guess you could say they, some of them have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, as Apostle Paul put it. So for that matter, why has God gone to great lengths to ensure that we have his word without error? Well, I believe the answers are there, and that is that because of God's love and grace, that he has made salvation available to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And secondly, God has expectations of those of us who do call upon the name of the Lord, and he has revealed these expectations in his word. And so the scriptures give us exactly what God wants and expects from our lives. And in the 3 points we'll be looking at this morning, we will see what God wants and how God wants us to shine, that is, our testimony. See, our testimony should grow bolder and brighter with every passing day. And that doesn't mean that everything is, you know, it doesn't mean that we're living in an Aesop fables world where we've got a bluebird on our shoulder and it's a zippity-doo-da-day. But it means that God shines even in adversity. If we will allow him to shine through our adversity, that's a better testimony than oftentimes when we're on the mountaintop and everything's going our way and we try to talk to other people about the Lord. But in this 3-point message, we will see how God wants us to shine and how we are to grow spiritually and maintain them both. And so we will deal with 3 levels of Christianity and how to maintain our spiritual growth and move from one level to another and not spend our Christian life stuck on one level of spiritual maturity, because God expects us to spiritually grow. And I have come across Christians who, oh yeah, I got saved when I was just a little girl. And they haven't grown. They haven't grown spiritually. They may go to church on a regular basis, but beyond that, there's no real spiritual growth. And so this morning, as we look at these messages, we're going to be looking at first and foremost, the first point, the infant state, is what we'll be looking at here as soon as we open in prayer. Now, Father, won't you guide and won't you direct as we look to the message this morning? Lord, we do need to rise, we do need to shine, and we do need to grow. And so, Lord, won't you guide and direct and speak to all of our hearts? Lord, I can look back on a time of my life when church wasn't a big deal with me. It wasn't a major priority. Lord, it isn't because I didn't know better. Lord, I just didn't see I did not initially see the significance of it, even though that's not how I was raised. And Lord, I'm sure that there's many that will identify with that at some point, some place in their lives. Well, they may even be there today. That church is a hit or lick. It's a hit or miss. It's a, hey, if I don't have anything better to do today, then I'll just pop in and say hey to everybody and see how things are going. But Lord, help us to see that you have expectations that we would go from the stage of infancy to adulthood, spiritually speaking. And so, Lord, won't you guide and direct, whether it's to salvation or to rededication, we ask again and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at our first one. We can all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, it's important, I think, to read in chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, 16, before we get to chapter 3. It says, in chapter 2, it says here in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And that's where we find much of the leadership in our country today. Our country is being directed and guided by men who are natural in the flesh. They're not looking to godly wisdom and godly discernment. Now, you hear a lot of, oh, God bless America. Well, you know, it takes more than just a simple few words out of your mouth for God to bless America. We want God to bless us. We know that the Bible has a lot to say about the means by which God would bless a country and its people. Verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And that is, if you are saved, you have access to the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, speaking to the church of Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, listen, he's talking about a little time has passed since he was there in Corinth and he has spread the gospel and this church had become formed. And now, all of a sudden, he's realizing that, hey, listen, this church hasn't moved forward very far at all. So that's what he's saying. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able." And he says, "For ye are yet carnal." You know, the last thing in the world you want to do is, when the rapture occurs, is to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that you have just lived the carnal Christian life. That is a life desires on your own part. And so 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we're familiar with that. And he says there, as newborn babes do what? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow. So he's really telling us very flat out there that you can't grow spiritually if you don't read your Bible. And you got to do a little bit more than that. You got to study it. That's why we have a couple of ladies' Bible studies on Tuesday night and on Wednesday morning, who are run by a couple of very capable ladies. And who, if you want to really get to know the Word of God and things about the Word of God, you can join them Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, or you can join them Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Amen? So you can do that. So our first level or stage is the infant stage, as we just said there. And there are these two verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, tells us that God expects us to grow. All right? He didn't just save you and then leave you there dangling and hanging around. He saved you for a purpose. And that purpose is for us to grow spiritually. Now, I don't know of any of you. Now, I've heard it said, and I know we've had the same desire, Peg and I. We've had 5 children. Good night. We've had, they're all married, and now we have 16 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and they're growing and so on there. And but, you know, I've heard other mothers say the same thing. Oh, I don't really want them to grow up. I want them to stay small. You're crazy. Now, it may be so for just a little bit. It may be that, you know, they're at a cute stage, and especially when they're going through those terrible twos and nightmare fours, and I'm going to kill myself fives, and so what are we going to do? But nonetheless, you know, as a parent, but God doesn't have that attitude. God doesn't always say stay small. Always say stay young in the faith. God wants us to grow. He expects growth. And you do too as a parent. You want your children to grow, and you want them to grow up. You want to give them all the skills that you can possibly give them, the mental acumen that is necessary in order to make their way through this life. So we expect to see a child to grow with age appropriateness and mastering certain skills as they grow. God has the same expectation of new believers in the faith. None of us can develop spiritual growth without being in the Bible, nor can we know the mind and the heart of God, which He has revealed to us through His Word, if we're not in the Word. So the idea here is that we need to begin immediately finding out what first steps God would have us to take, for which if we don't, spiritual growth is going to be stunted. Now, it's the things that people don't like to be reminded of, but we're going to do it anyway, because that's just my nature. All right. So, the first one here, several steps involved that we need to take. Number one, get baptized as soon as possible. Now, here at Calvary, when someone first gets saved, we want to disciple them for a little bit before we actually put them in the baptismal tank. We want to make sure that they understand what the salvation and what God's expectation is. And so we've got a little booklet that it's not a catechism, but it's just a series of steps that we need to take as neophytes to the faith, if you will. And so we can look very quickly here in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Oops. And verse 37, and we'll jump right over into 41, let me see. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now, this is the message that the disciples, Peter and them, were preaching. And as the people heard the message pricked their heart. And the response was, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. It said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We need to answer that question those who are mature in the faith. When someone gets saved, we need to answer that question, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now, that's not one and the same. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In verse 41, again, the scripture says there, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A lot of souls getting saved, amen. Then if we were to look over into Acts chapter 8, do we have that where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch have an encounter, because God made that encounter possible. We pick it up in verse 29. It says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, I got ahead of myself there. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who should declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Folks, if that's not your message, you got the wrong message. You preach Jesus. That's what Paul said. He said, when I went into a marketplace, when I went into a city or a town, he said, I preached Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. Now, he had other doctors along the way, but that's the primary message that people need to hear. Verse 36 says, "As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, notice this. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now, that Ethiopian's salvation took place on the minute that he believed that Jesus Christ indeed was who Jesus Christ said he was. Not because he was going to be baptized, but because he had already been saved. But what he did then, he wanted to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by immersion. And so, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So baptism is an important first step. A second step is to get into a local Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church. And again, back in Acts chapter 2, let me just turn back a couple chapters there. In Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 46 through 47. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So church is important, amen? It's very important, especially as a brand new believer in Christ, to be in church among other believers, older believers, more mature believers along the way. A third thing is that start being faithful to all the services of the church. Amen? That's important. Now, we only take a collection up Sunday morning. Some churches take them on Sunday nights. They take them on Wednesday night. Anytime you get two Baptists together, they pass an offering plate. But we take one. You know what? And God has blessed us. Not because we take less offerings, but God has met all of our needs through that. And when you have a smaller church, the same people come back on Sunday night. They've already given it on Sunday morning, so there you go. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. That is so important for us to really grasp this principle. And again, this is not a command. It's not written in the imperative, but it is a directive that God has given to us as the redeemed of the Lord. Chapter 10 and verse 24. You can't do any of this if you're not in the house of the Lord, especially when it talks about verse 24. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." See, we come here to be an encouragement to one another. Now, who encouraged you this week? Now, if you have a husband that's saved and a wife that's saved, they would encourage you. Encourage each other. Or as parents, we encourage our children when our children are at home. And so, a lot of us, we don't get the kind of encouragement that we really need to keep on keeping on in the faith. And till we come to the house of the Lord. Brother, it's so good to see you. Sister, boy, what a joy it is to have you here in the house of the Lord. And we get all excited and because we're coming together. I maybe you don't. I do. So what we, but verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of what? Some is." You really want to be like those other ones? The some is that the Bible's talking about? I don't want to be a part of the some is. I did that for a few years back before I really got my heart right with God. And I don't want to go back to those days ever again. Never again. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, that day could be Sunday. Now, I like to think it's a lot more than Sunday. So, you know Sunday's coming. Amen? So, get your mind going. Get your mindset in that direction. We're going to church. We're going to go and worship. We're going to fellowship. And we're going to praise God. And we're going to meet my brothers and sisters in the Lord today. And we're going to get all happy about that. Amen. You ought to. But then also I look at it as the second coming of, well, the rapture of the church. Folks, I'll tell you, how many of you believe what the Bible says about the rapture and about all the things coming? Hey, it's coming, isn't it? Amen? I mean, it's a coming. I'm looking forward to it. But folks, that means we've got a lot of work to do because it may be a lot closer than any of us could have ever imagined as much as 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be an encouragement to a brother and a sister. Listen, boy, we missed you the last couple of Sundays. We missed you here, we missed you there. And boy, what a wonderful time we had there. And it would have been better if you had just been there. And encouraging others. A fourth one here. Make sure I'm on the right page. Start serving in the church with your time, your talent, and your finances. Listen, we have a great missions program. Penciled in a missionary on May 22nd. Missionary family going to Japan. And excited about having come. But I'd like to be able to tell these missionaries, say, you know what? Yeah, listen, yeah, we're looking to add to our mission family, and we'd love to bring you on, take you on. But you know, if we're not going to really give into missions, then it's kind of hard. You know, they come and we hear them preach, and we'll pray for them, and we take the prayer cards and we pray for them. But I'd like to be able to tell them before they leave here, say, oh, by the way, we just decided we're going to take you on and add you to our missionary family. Now, there may be a limit to what we can do, but listen, folks, God has no limit to the finances. Amen. So there isn't any reason, and the missionaries they need to have some faithful churches who are standing behind them. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and looking at verse 1 and 2. And he says there, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath what? Prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So God simply saying here, said, if I bless you this week, then you turn around, you'll be a blessing too. So we can't look and say, well, I can't afford the boat, or I can't afford this, and I can't afford this recreational vehicle if I start giving to missions, and which is above and beyond the offerings that we give to keep the electricity on. I don't know about you, but it was nice to come in a warm building this morning. But that takes money. Paying the heat and the lights and building maintenance and these things here, they take money. Keeping our missionaries on the field, that takes money. Listen, none of this stuff is for free. But all God wants to do, God wants to be a channel through us. And that's what our Faith Promise Missions program here is all about. We get along with the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to give to missions? Now, don't tell God, this is what I can give. Let God speak to you and lay on your heart what he wants you to give through you. And he will work through you. And Peg and I, we've been involved in Faith Promise Missions for over 50 some odd years. I'm trying to think how long it's been. Been a long, long time anyway. Been here for 43, so I know we've been here for 43 years. Been involved in that. But even before that, whether at Bethlehem Baptist Church, even back in Bristol, Pennsylvania, when we were going to church there, we were involved in Faith Promise Missions. And I'll tell you what, we have never lacked whatever we needed. We never had more, but we never had less than what we needed. We were able to put our kids through a Christian school, get most of them to a Christian college on a pastor's salary, and still kept up our Faith Promise Missions program. And we increase it. Every so often, when God lays it on our heart, we increase it even yet still. And so, you can't outgive God. That includes your time. Listen, you have time. You have 24 hours in a day, because my wife doesn't think I do. She thinks I've got 48 in a day. No, she tells me that's what I think. She says, you think you got 48 hours in a day? And I say, well, I do double everything, so I guess I'm okay. So, but you know, you have time that you can give to the church. We've got some work projects that are coming up here as soon as the weather breaks. Trying to get our building straightened out a little bit, especially before Easter comes, get some outside work done, and in some inside work as well. But time, even your talent. How many of you played in this room? I'm not going to ask you to show your hands because you probably scare somebody else half to death here. How many of you played an instrument in high school? Yeah? Two people out of this small group? Two people? Come on. Now, I know I didn't. I was in the athletic programs in school, so I didn't bother with band and chorus or any of that. You didn't play it after you got out of high school, did you? No, and there she is. She's back up front here again. By the grace of God. So, get that old instrument out. Dust it off. Tune it up. You know what, Pastor? If I can get the songs, I'll join Allison up there and play. Amen? You would love to have some company up there? Oh, yeah, I know she would. Listen, there's a reason why we can't have a group up here like we had before the Moors left. Amen? Either pray for a family that's extremely musical to come and join us here, or get out those instruments and dust them up, if you would. So, but the fifth thing, so time and talent, you know, they're as precious to God as anything else that we can give. And then share your new faith with others. Family, friends, co-workers. And who will listen to you? Speak to them. Hand them a tract. Waiter, waitresses. Stick it in your bills in the mail, whatever it is. You don't need to know the whole Bible in order to share the gospel. Share how you got saved. And if it was a simple coming to faith in Christ, then share that with them. This is what I did. And this is how my life was changed. Or this was the impact that receiving Christ had on me. Share with others what happened to you when you got saved. Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." We have a commission. Go ye. Share the gospel. Not everybody's going to want to hear it. Don't waste your time. Move on to someone who says, "Wow, you know, I was just wondering about that today, and God sent you across my path." And they want to hear more. And so, what is important to be mindful of is during this newborn stage of the Christian life, is that a failure to step up and do these things will result in a carnal Christian life, as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." Do you really want to be a carnal Christian? I don't think so. To be carnal is to still allow one's life to be regulated or controlled by our fleshly reasonings and our fleshly thoughts and our fleshly desires rather than the desires of God. When it comes to the Christian life, we all start our life as newborn babes in Christ with so very much to learn. But spiritual growth is still the expectation for each of us. And so, number two, the childhood stage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Most of us are probably familiar with that verse already, the Apostle Paul. Chapter 13, verse 11. "When I was a child," what did you do as a child? "I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And that's the next stage. You've got to put away these childish things and realize that there's more to the spiritual life than just going to church and just giving up some time and giving in some money and sharing my talents a little bit there. So in this second stage of spiritual growth, we move from the basics and we take on greater growth and challenges that we glean from the Word of God. Our testimony is becoming clearer as to the Christian life and God's expectations of us when we're growing spiritually. You know, there's a lot of people out there today who still don't really know what Christ wants them to do. So we begin to take on responsibilities with greater understanding, such as number one, the fear of God. So the fear of God, which has two functions to it, if you were to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14 this morning. And this is the Solomon who is coming to a conclusion. He hadn't already written the 12 chapters there in Ecclesiastes. And I'll get there in just a minute. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, very important. As he nails it down for all of us, for all the ages. And he simply says there, let us hear the conclusion. He has talked about vanity after vanity after vanity after vanity. 12 chapters worth of types of vanities. He turned over every rock, every leaf to find whatever he was looking for. And he comes to this conclusion as he says in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the what? Whole duty of man. This is God's expectation of everyone. You don't get to choose what commandments you're going to. God has given them all for us to obey. So he says in verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So reverence for God is a revering of God. God becomes more precious to you with each and every passing day. Your passion for him grows greater with every passing day. But then there's also the fear that God to fear God is in when we choose to do wrong. Now, my day was always a good day until I heard my mother say, "Wait till your father gets home." I don't know if you remember any of those instances when your father gets home. We'll deal with this later, all right? Well, you know, that kind of ruined the rest of my afternoon a little bit because I knew that my dad would be home by 4 o'clock or so and he'd have to deal with it. But folks, when we are building upon the things that we learned in the infant stage, or as Paul speaking to the believers in Colossians stated, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Are you really rooted in Christ? You know, tumbleweeds, they don't sit down roots. Tumbleweeds just blow all over the country out there in the West. But you know, there's tumbleweed Christians. They don't really have any roots. Oh yeah, they're saved, but when it comes right down to it, there's no real roots in the Word of God. There's no nourishment in them, and so they just kind of blow this way and they blow that. Whichever the way the wind of time takes them is how they go. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's what happens when you're not rooted in the Word of God. You get blown around by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Man, you need to be rooted. You need to be rooted. You need to be grounded in the Word of God. Amen. And then secondly, very quickly here, let me see. Yep, oh, we'll make it. So we begin to obey God because it is the right thing to do. Now, love is important, but, Ron Hamilton wrote the song. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the what? Very best way. But he also said, do right until what? Until the stars fall. And that's true. I mean, that's a biblical principle. Do right until the stars fall. So he says there in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. A genuine sign of spiritual growth is the desire to do what God wants done in the fashion God wants it done." Oh God, I know what you want to do, but I'm going to do it this way. Okay, no. No. See, a lot of churches are conducting their worship services not according to Scripture, but according to what man wants, to the desires of man's heart, rather than what the Word of God has to say. We need to make sure we're following the Word of God. So to live our lives to please God, because it is becoming our heart's desire to please God in all that we do. Imagine that. To live our lives to please God. And wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, I want to please you today. Lord, I'm not out to please myself. I want to please you today." You know, that means you have to deal with some things you don't want to have to deal with. But it pleases God, so you do it. And after you're done, you're glad you did it. Amen? And so 1 Corinthians 10:30 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do what? All." I remember Brother Tom shared that one day. He said Dr. Strauss told him, he said that he talked about all-ology. And I said, "What's all-ology?" He said, "When the Bible says all, he means all. Not a few here and a few there, he means all. And so, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Amen. And then thirdly, very quickly, develop a relationship with godly counselors. My God, that's why we have a church. Brothers and sisters that we can talk to. Brothers and sisters we can pray with. We can come to fellowship with them and we can worship and be involved in this. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is what? Safety." There is safety. You know, too many times we know who not to ask for counsel. And we know who we want to ask counsel from. Now what does that mean? That means that when we know certain people think a certain way, the way we think, those are the ones we're going to go to. We're looking for an affirmation on what we think. We don't dare to go to the Lord in prayer. We don't dare to go to a counselor who is in the Word of God, because we already know that down deep in our hearts, God's not agreeing. And the Word of God won't agree either. So why would you go to a godly counselor? Well, because you need the right answers. And so if you must be persuaded, let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God be the ones who are doing the persuading. Too many professing believers allow themselves to be dissuaded by worldly logic or worldly philosophies, such as global warming and stuff like that. Listen, I had a lady come to me and she said, "Well, Pastor, what do you think about global warming?" And she said, "Aren't you afraid?" And I said, "Do you read your Bible?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Where in the world do you see global warming in the Bible?" There's going to come a day, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 10, 11. So, yeah, it's going to get hot around here. But folks, we're going to be up there. We're going to be home with the Lord, amen? Do we need to be good stewards? Yeah, we need to be good stewards. We need to be wise stewards here. But listen, I tell you, this liberal policy, I'm going to get a little political right here now. You know, these electric vehicles, what are we going to do with all those tons and tons and tons of batteries? What are you going to do with all them? You know, all these windmills, what do they do with those? I saw an image on the internet here, and images of these huge, giant blades that they're being buried under the ground, and they won't dissolve for centuries. So, you know, these people are just dumber than rocks when it comes right down to it. I'm not saying, if you want an electric vehicle, you can have an electric vehicle. But the next time I see someone driving an electric vehicle and they're talking to me about green, I say, "Why are you driving that? That has to have a battery charger. And what are you going to do with those batteries after it's all done?" Because those are big batteries. And it, can they? I don't know if they can or not. I don't think those are the answers necessarily. But there's a lot of other areas in this world today that we're falling into. We're subjecting the Word of God, the truth of God, to worldly philosophies and worldly ideologies. Folks, the Word of God, I mean, that's like driving a square peg in a round hole. You drive a peg in a square peg in a round hole, you're going to come out with what? A round rod. That's what you're going to come out with. A complete change there. So you cannot bring the world's philosophies to the Word of God. You need to bring the Word of God to the world philosophies, and you will drop the world philosophies quite quickly. So anyway, rest assured that when the world begins to quote Scripture, they will do so to elevate what God has called sin. A God of love would never do it. You can fill it in by that. Well, you know what? If God said it, God means it.
That's right.
Amen? Well, a loving God would never do this. Well, why did he say it then? Are you trying to tell me that God's a liar? A God doesn't lie. God's immutable. And so, who should our godly counselors be? Well, godly parents, godly pastors, other godly Christians, the Bible, Holy Spirit, who will never mislead anyone because of their love for you. We will find financial counsel. We will find marital counsel. We will find business counsel, family counsel, relational counsel, and so much more in the Scriptures. And it's all in there. You have to take some time to read it. And then you got to heed it. So, when we are growing up, we need a great deal of guidance and counsel as we navigate life physically and spiritually. The spiritual guidance provides the right solutions and the answers for a victorious Christian life. If our flesh is our source for these things, rest assured, disaster awaits. God has the key to a victorious Christian life, to a victorious Christian marriage, to a victorious Christian family. Amen. And we don't really have the time to go into point number three, but it's the adult stage. Well, maybe I could go real quick. Yeah, we'll go real quick. We can go real quick. I'll go. Stage number three. The adult stage, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 through 11. The Apostle Paul, we said this when I was a child, you know, so on. So as Paul bids his church members a fond farewell, he gives them this awesome challenge. And we ask him, why? Because he wanted to push themselves to reach their full potential. When Peg and I have left this earth before the rapture occurs, my desire is that the 43 years I've been at Calvary was I have been pushing people to their full potential. I can't live your Christian life for you. You can't live mine. And so how do you do this? How do you do this? Well, number one, very quickly, live our lives for others. Amen? Invest our lives into the life of others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We are to even love our enemies. God's grace longs for them to be saved as well as he did for you and I. This is about living a sacrificial life that parallels the life of Christ. Secondly, at this stage, it should be our greatest desire to obey God out of love. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Third one, bear fruit that remains. Be it how we biblically handle life's decisions or sharing the gospel with others so that they can also become a part of the family of God. John 15, 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should what? Remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Give of your time, talent, and finances sacrificially. One cannot be totally yielded to Christ if we hold back our time, our talent, and our finances. Matthew 5, 45 through 47. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, that is to be mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God is using his word, using the Holy Spirit, using circumstances and situations to bring us into the conformity of his Son Jesus Christ every passing day. Then fifthly, chase after God. Pursue him. Psalm 42 and verse 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Are you in pursuit of God? Not for salvation, but as a child of God? Paul was. Enoch was. So many of our Bible characters, they were in pursuit to know God. And so most of us have by now realized the Christian life. If it is lived according to God's plan, which for the most part we glean from the Word of God, it's not for sissies, and it can't be lived without God at the center of every aspect of our lives. Chase after God. The Christian life, you have to be strong. You have to be strong. Everything, yep. Over and over, the Bible tells us in the scriptures. That's true. Thank you. The Christian life is designed by God to be a Christ-centered life. And you and I are the ones that have to keep our lives centered and focused. And these are the ways in which you do it. Matthew 6:27, which of you, by taking thought, can add, that should be one cubit, sorry about that, can add one cubit unto his stature. Only God can increase you. Only God can grow us through his word and through his spirit. But we have to surrender. We have to be yielded. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, how precious is your word, so infallibly preserved, so that we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we hold in our hands and what we read, and Lord, that we make application to our lives, Lord, is real, is genuine. And so, Father, we want to be the children in the family of God that you want us to be. And Lord, many who should be adults are still somewhere along the line of infancy or maybe in their childhood, and Lord, they just haven't moved. Well, we'd ask and pray that each and every one of us would realize that, Lord, the Christian life is meant to be a progressive life, that we had to become more like Christ with each and every passing day. Lord, in season and out of season, we had to be instantly a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our light is to shine regardless of the things that we face, the darkness of the times. Our light is to shine even brighter. So Lord, guide and direct in this invitation time that, Lord, as you know the heart of those who are gathered here in the sanctuary and those who are gathered at home as well, we pray today, Lord, that you will guide and direct. And Lord, that you bring about the desire that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, speak to us in this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you'd say this one, preacher. I truly am saved, and I have no doubt in my mind that when that rapture occurs, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I cannot honestly say that I am living a mature Christian life. It's progressive, folks. We become more and more mature with the more knowledge that we have through the Scriptures. And listen, if you're still back in infancy, then you're a carnal Christian. If you're somewhere in between being an adult and being an infant, then you're still struggling, but you're still growing. And I'd pray that you would. Purpose by God's grace that you're going to grow. That you're going to move out of this infancy stage. That you're going to move out of this childhood stage and you're going to grow. But it means work. Yeah, it does. It means a focus and a dedication of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your time to do just that. Preacher, would you pray for me closing the day? Yes, I see hands here. Hands there. Preacher, pray for me today. I know. Listen, all of us are going to continue to grow until Jesus comes. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. How precious is your word now. Father, we get ready to go downstairs to have an afternoon meal before the afternoon service. Won't you bless the food and bless the fellowship? But Lord, for all of us who know that we need to grow, and that we're never this side of the rapture ever going to reach a place where we know all that we need to know, or that we're as strong as we ought to be. But, well, with every passing day, that we should be getting more like that. And so, Father, continue to speak. Continue to challenge. And, Lord, as we look back, maybe at the end of this year, look back and say, by the grace of God, I grew. By the grace of God, I learned. By the grace of God, I did things I didn't think I could do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the glory. Now, Father, dismiss us, we pray, with thy blessings in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, if you can still, you ought to be able to smell it all the way up here. It's pretty good.